It's been a while since I was with you on Father's Day. Typically, this is when my family's back home in Texas on vacation. I've only been with you one other Father's Day in my memory, and so I'm accustomed to being with my father in church on this day at Harmony Baptist Church in Normangee, Texas, but Dad's just going to have to deal with a phone call later today, and you're going to have to deal with putting up with me. So here we are. Today's message isn't complicated. In your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. I'll give you a minute. Ezekiel chapter 22. I have one verse for us. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. There the word of the Lord says in Ezekiel 22:30, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would destroy it. But I found no one. That's God speaking. God speaking to the nation of Israel in a time of great need. And God said again, I searched for what? For a man among them who would build up the wall and do what? Stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. I don't have a title for the Father's Day message today, but if I were to pick one, I would say something along the lines of being a good man or a man who stands in the gap. The premise of the message today, men and women, is not difficult. Here's the one thing I want you to leave with today, is that you will not be a good father without being a good man first. You can't be a good father if you're not a good man first. And being a good man, and by extension, being a good father, that's a dying art in our world today. Our nation is falling apart at the seams. It is in the early stages of the death with violence and immorality. And why is that happening? It is happening because we're lacking good men who will stand up and say, thus says the Lord of hosts. I thank God that we have some good men here today. But don't we need more? Not just in the church, but in the nation. So it's Father's Day, and we want to be good men. Ladies, I've got a little something for you in this message today. I know there are times that we men say, I have trouble understanding my wife. Well, ladies, doesn't it go both ways? Don't you have trouble understanding us men sometimes? And so, ladies, I want to give you what we'll just call the men's thesaurus. The men's thesaurus. I'm going to give you insight into the male mind so that you will understand when we say something what we're really thinking. Okay, ladies, listen up. When a man says to you, it would take too long to explain, what we really mean is, I have no idea how it works. Ladies, when your husband says, take a break, honey, you are working too hard, what we really mean is, I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner. What a man says to you, ladies, that's interesting, dear, What he really means is, are you still talking? When a man says, it's a guy thing, what we really mean is, there's no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance at all of making this logical. When a man says, honey, can I help with dinner? What he really means is, why isn't dinner ready yet? When a man says, uh-huh, or sure, honey, or yes, dear, what does he mean? Absolutely nothing. It's a conditioned response. When a man says, you know how bad my memory is, what he's really saying to you, ladies, is, I can remember the entire theme song to Gilligan's Island. I can remember the phone number of the first girl I ever kissed. I can remember the vehicle registration number, the vehicle identification number of every car I have ever owned. But yes, I can't remember your birthday. Ladies, when a man says, it's just a little scratch, don't worry, it's no big deal, what he's really saying to you is, I have severed a limb, and I'm going to bleed to death if you don't hurry up and get over here and help me. When a man says, I can't find it, what he's saying is, it did not fall out of the sky into my outstretched hand, so I need help. When a man says to you, I heard you, what he's really saying is, I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it enough so that you'll not spend the next 3 days yelling at me. When a man says to you, I could never love anyone else, he is saying, I'm used to the way that you yell at me, and I realize it could be much worse. When a man says, you look terrific, what he is saying is, oh, please don't try on one more outfit. I'm starving. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. When a man says, I don't think I can go today, what he is meaning is, shopping is not a sport and we will never ever think of it in that way. When a man says, I don't remember saying that, what he means is, anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument, and in fact, all comments are null and void after 7 days. When a man says, that's not what I meant, what he really means is, if something I have said can be interpreted in two different ways, and one of those ways makes you angry, I meant the other one. And then finally, ladies, when your husband, and I relate with this so much, when a husband says to you, honey, what color is this? What we're really saying is, all of us men can only see 8 colors, like the basic box of crayons. Peach is a fruit, not a color. Pumpkin is a fruit, not a color. And we have no clue what in the world is taupe. Ladies, we men are simple. We're not complicated. Men, in your simplicity, focus on being a good man, and all the rest will take care of itself. So the question is then for us men, how do we be a good man? 3 simple points today for you. Good men, number one, good men are men who have learned to lean. Good men are men who have learned to lean. And lean on what? It's lean on who? Lean on the Lord. The familiar verses of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 apply to us men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And so what are we as good men to lean on the Lord for? We're first to lean on the Lord for salvation, right? It's by grace you're saved, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest you should boast. Aren't we men bad about trying to be in control of everything, trying to make things happen? Ladies, there's one thing you have easier than men. It comes more naturally for you to trust in the Lord and to rest in Him. Men, we tend to want to control the outcome of things. Now, I'm not going to get into whether that's fair or not. But men, no matter how hard it is for you to lean on the Lord for salvation, Jesus will solve that dilemma. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven. Even a boy understands the need to trust in the Lord. But isn't it amazing, men, how as we grow older, as soon as we start getting a little peach fuzz on our chins, we start thinking we're tough, we're strong, and we don't need God. I am so thankful that we have a church full of men here at Brown Deer Baptist Church who understand their need for God and to lean on the Lord for salvation. But not only do we need to lean on the Lord, men, for salvation, but we need to lean on the Lord for strength. When we're young, we think we have an unlimited supply of strength. And as the years go by, we start thinking of ourselves differently. I still think of myself as 18, 20 years old. But my body says, no, you're not. No, you're not. Not anymore. Not anymore. But there's an inward strength that's far greater than any spiritual strength that comes from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 through 31. Isaiah said, though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not be weary. Men, lean on the Lord for strength. And a good man also is a man who leans on the Lord for supply. Trust in the Lord. Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your needs. Some of your needs? No. All your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We want to be the breadwinner. We want to be the mighty hunter. We want to go out in the woods and get the deer and bring it home and go, me kill, you cook, right? We want to be, He-Man, right? And the Lord says, to be a good man, lean on me for your supply of your need. Trust me. And the last thing, area where we as men need to learn to lean on the Lord is for soundness. Talking about our reasoning, our judgment, our wisdom. Men, I want you to take your Bibles and go to James chapter 1 and verse 5. Go ahead and look this one up. I want you to look at this one with your own eyes. Look at James 1, 5, men. James 1, 5, right there towards the end of the New Testament. James says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Men, do you realize there are two prayers that you can pray in which the answer from God will always, every time, be yes? There's only two of them that you can guarantee that every time the answer from God will be yes. The first one is for salvation. Romans 10:13. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You cry out to God for salvation, he'll save you. That's a promise every time. And this is the second one. If you're having trouble with wisdom in a matter, having understanding, you cry out to God and say, God, I need your help here. I need your wisdom. And the Lord has promised to hear your prayer, and he will guide you in those things. Now, why has God given us men, and ladies too, but why has God specifically given men a yes answer to the prayer for wisdom? Because of our second area that's needed. A good man, good men, are men who have learned to lead. You see, God knows we need his wisdom, his understanding to lead. Good men are men who have learned to lead. And what do we need to learn to lead? First, we need to learn to lead our flesh. You know there's a war going on within you? Paul said in Galatians 5:16-17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit fights against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul's saying, even he understood that there's a war going on in the flesh, in the body of all of us, and especially men, where the flesh wants to go one way and the Spirit leads them the other, and there's a clash. So what do you do with that? You can try to fight it on your own, and you'll lose every time. You yield to the Spirit. The verse that is my champion verse is Galatians 2:20. It's the one I fall back on in temptation when I'm having that fight with the flesh. It is Galatians 2:20, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I count myself dead. Just like Christ was nailed to the cross, it was my sin that put him there. My sin was on the cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Men, we have to lead our flesh or our flesh will lead us. And the only way you can lead your flesh is to consider it crucified with Christ. And to let Christ and his resurrection power have the victory in your life. So good men are men who have learned to lead their flesh. And then, they're good men. Good men are men who have learned to lead their families. In Ephesians 5:23, we read words that we men like. For the husband is the head of the wife. But you better pay attention to the rest of Ephesians 5:23. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body or the church. Headship, leadership is about being a picture of Christ to your family. It isn't about being the boss. It's about being a loving leader. God's no respecter of persons. Men and women are equal in his sight. He loves them the same. But the Bible tells us
that the woman is a weaker vessel
in 1 Peter.
But that word in the Greek for weaker means more fragile.
What the Bible is telling us, men, is that the wife is more sensitive and the wife is in need of strong, loving, gentle leadership. Another way of putting it, as we would say back home, is women are silk and men are burlap. Do you young people know what burlap is? It's a rough, itchy, simple cloth. Which would you rather have? To lay your head on at night, would you rather have a pillow made of silk or a pillow made of burlap? I'll take silk every time. Silk is more precious. Silk is more valuable. Husbands, remember, your wife is fine silk. You're burlap. You have strength. But treat your wife as silk. In God's wisdom, He's given every family a head. Something with two heads is a monster, isn't it? It's freakish. Understand, men, that being the head is not a right, it's a privilege. And it's a responsibility. The hardest thing you'll ever do in this life is being a good husband and a good father to your children. Back in the Old Testament, there was a high priest named Eli. Eli could run the house of God, but he ruined his family. There was another man, a man that we tend to look up to, King David. He could run a kingdom. He knew how to lead a battle into army, an army into battle. But could he run his family? His family was a mess. Remember, it's a privilege. So we have to lead our flesh. We have to lead our families. And we have to lead the fallen to Jesus. In the youth Sunday school class, today our lesson, young people, it was on the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Men, if you're going to be a good man, you're going to want to see people come to Christ. So let's go to the third point, and I'll end this Father's Day message. Good men are men who have learned to love. So who are we to love, men? First, the Father in heaven, the Lord, right? Paul said in that famous chapter on love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, those first three verses, he said, if you don't have love, you're just like banging your own cymbal, your own gong, drawing attention to yourself. You're just making a lot of noise. Paul went on to say, you can know everything. You can have all knowledge. You can be the smartest guy on the planet. And you can understand all the mysteries of prophecy. And you can preach eloquently. And Paul went on to say, men, you could even have faith that'll make a mountain move. But what did he say? But if you don't have love, you're nothing. He goes on to say, you could give everything you have away to help feed the hungry. And you could even sacrifice your life, give it up, your body up to be burned to save another life. But if you don't have love, It does you no good. It's no profit to you. And then Paul went on three chapters later in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 22, and he said these words, "If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed." He is to be accursed. Strong words. When Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." So love your Father in heaven first. And as you do that, then you will be able to love your family second. To love the Lord, love the Father, and then you can love the family. Now, I covered this a little bit under leadership, because true leadership can only be loving leadership. I had Craig read at the beginning of the service from Ephesians 5, where husbands, we are called to love your wife. Now, that may seem like a strange command to a lot of folks. Some folks will say, well, if you didn't love her, you wouldn't have married her, right? I want you to understand that love there, and love that I'm talking about now, means more than just the affections of emotion. It's more than just a tingling feeling. It means that you make the conscious decision to seek the welfare of your wife and your children ahead of yourself. It is a sacrificial kind of love. It's the kind of love that Jesus had for you, that he gave himself. It's an admonition that goes far beyond than just telling the husband to love his wife if she's pretty. It's much deeper than that. There was a man one time who was talking to his wife after he did something that he after she did something he disagreed with, and in anger he said to her, "Don't do this, man." But he said to his wife, "I cannot understand how you can be so beautiful and so stupid at the same time." The wife gave a great response to that. His wife looked at him and said, "God made me beautiful so that you would love me. And God made me stupid so that I would love you." All right, men, that's not what we're talking about. Love your family, love your wife, love your children in a sacrificial way. And then finally, and here we come to the end, men. A good man, good men are men who have learned to love the Lord, their family, and then lastly, the fellowship, the church. The church. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. If you're to be a picture of Christ to your wife and to your children, you're going to love like Jesus loved. And if Jesus loves the church, then you're going to love the church too. I thank God for the men here at Brown Deer Baptist Church. Men, what was the verse, the scripture that I began this message with? Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. This is God speaking, searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. Men, stand in the gap for your family. Build up the wall of protection around them. To not do so is to disobey God and to bring peril to your home. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. And Lord, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, encourage them to be good men. Lord, thank you. for giving us Christ, who has given us every resource that we need, whether it be wisdom and knowledge on how to lead, all the way down to the deepest need of our souls. Whether it be our physical needs, whatever, we can trust you with those. I pray that you'll help our men to be men of faith. Father, I thank you for the wives and the ladies of our fellowship. And Lord, I ask also that you would help them to pray for their husbands, that you would help the children to pray for their fathers, and to recognize the great responsibility that's been placed on them and to encourage them to be what they are to be. Father, during this invitation, there's a man here that needs to give their life to you. I pray that they would come and receive your Son, Jesus, as their Savior, that they would learn to lean on you, first of all, for salvation. Father, for knowledge, that they would come and seek you out. Father, bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand.